It's really encouraging just to stand in the congregation. I know Stephen says this often, but just to hear hearts that are lifted in praise that expresses desire to hear from God this morning. Can we maybe just share a prayer together? I think more for me to settle myself. Lord, as we have been thinking, as we have been singing, we pray now as we turn to your word that your truth would speak. But Lord, not just that we hear words, but that your words go deep within us, change us, fashion us, mold us, shape us to be more like Jesus. So lead us now, we pray, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Truth under fire. Maybe, Johnny, if I could have my laptop, that would be great. Truth under fire. Jeremiah 36. It's a long passage. It's a complicated passage in some senses. Let's just quickly go back to last week, Jeremiah 20. We thought about a man on fire. His word is in my heart like a fire, said Jeremiah. I'm getting in all sorts of trouble for speaking for God, but his truth is so deep within me that I can't keep quiet. I have to speak for him. This week, we're thinking about pages that are on fire. Let me quickly just run through the chapter, okay? And we will jump in and out of it a little bit as we go. But basically what is happening, I think we're almost maybe 20 years on from chapter 20. Jeremiah is still speaking for God, but nothing has really been happening by way of this judgment that's coming. Jeremiah is now barred from the temple, and he's kind of being kept down. So he hears from God, and then he asks his scribe, Baruch, to write down the words that he says. So he dictates God's message to Baruch. Then he says to Baruch, on a feast day, go to the temple and speak for me. Speak for God. When there's lots and lots and lots of people there. So he goes and does that. Some of the officials hear, and they think, oh, my goodness. And the message touches them, but they go back to their bosses and say, Jeremiah has said, well, Baruch has said this. We think the words are maybe from Jeremiah. They discuss that. They discover they are from Jeremiah, who is the messenger from God. And then they have to go to the king and they tell the king. And the king gets the scroll that the message has been written on. And he sits in his winter palace and he's reading. And as he's reading and he reads maybe a few paragraphs, and then he just takes the knife, whoosh, the scribe's knife, as it says, or a pair of scissors, and throws that bit in the fire. And then he reads the next bit, whoosh, in the fire. Next bit, whoosh, in the fire. Some of his officials are saying, King, don't do that, but whoosh, in the fire. Whoosh, in the fire. Until the whole scroll is gone. Word of the Lord comes to Jeremiah. Take another scroll, give it to the scribe Baruch, son of Neriah. And as Jeremiah dictated, Baruch wrote it all in the words of the scroll that Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, had burned in the fire. And many similar words were added to them. The word of the Lord came again. That's chapter 36 in a nutshell. God's word, we said truth under fire, but actually truth in the fire is what we're thinking about. But for us, what's the point? As I wrestled with this passage, and it's a long and it's a complicated passage for this morning, there's something here about communicating God's word. I love in verse 3, and maybe you want to keep scripture open in your lap there, In verse 3 and verse 7, there's just this little word twice. And it's, you know, go and speak to the people and perhaps. Thinking, Gordy, what are you talking about? Perhaps they will repent. Perhaps this time they'll get it. And they'll turn to me. This is the Lord's heart. God's desire is for repentance and reconciliation. His patience here is unending. And he just, perhaps this time they'll get it and they'll turn back to me. Communicating God's word is an act of compassion to people to turn back to God, to get to know the Lord better. Our kids being in children's church at the minute. Is it God wants them, perhaps, to hear from him and their lives to be impacted? Creativity. Why have I written that? Verse 6. Verse 6, we read together. As you go to the house of the Lord on a day of fasting and read to the people from the scroll the words of the Lord that you wrote as I dictated, read them all to the people of Judah who come from their towns. Go to the house of the Lord on a day of fasting. What can we learn from this about communicating God's word? We need to be creative. We need to be on the money. Where's there going to be an audience who really need to hear? Well, go on the day of feasting. Go on the day when people are about. I see somebody here in the congregation from down in County Monaghan, and there's a St. Patrick's Day parade in the town. We're better to be involved sharing the word of God, because that's where people are going to be, at the Blues Festival. And I think this is the challenge for me here in Ballywillan. We're on the outskirts of Portrush Town. Truck Fest this afternoon, I think it is, from seeing some of them on the way in and a few videos on Facebook. The Red Sails Festival. The Air Show. Holiday Central. How can we creatively share God's word and the good news of the gospel in our town, where God has placed us to be a light on a hill? To share God's word with creativity. Here the guys thought, where are we going to get the biggest audience? Feast day at the temple. Let's go. But here, well, we hear sometimes too, you'll hear today, preach the gospel and if necessary use words. Great quote by Francis of Assisi. And I understand the heart of it, but there's another part of it's nonsense. Because you can't preach the word of God if you don't preach the word of God. What we often say here is be nice to people. If people don't hear the truth from our lips, they haven't heard God's truth. They may see us being really nice people. I think actually in the Christianity Explored video, it talks about this and says this quotation, and somebody said, actually, yeah, that person must be a Hindu or something. Because they just see them as a nice person. The thing that changes lives is God's word touched by God's spirit. And yes, we're to be good people and nice people. Romans 10, verses 13. How can they hear unless someone preaches, speaks, communicates to them? Faith comes through hearing, and hearing through the word of God. So we need not only to be people who live as salt and light, but we also need to communicate, speak God's truth. And that takes courage. I don't think I would have liked to have been in Barak's shoes. Read to all the people. Jeremiah, he had the safe one. I'll write it down, give it to you. You go and stand in front of everybody and do the hard work. It takes courage. I remember quite a handful of years ago when I worked in First Coleraine, and Engage 24/7 worship used to happen quite often in St. Patrick's Church. Ian Hanna and Andy Rogers and some folk did it, and it was great. And every now and again they had a week of 24/7 prayer and worship. And we and the young people from First Coleraine got involved in it, But one year they decided to do Engage on the Streets. I thought, okay. And so those first some of the sessions were on the street in front of the town hall in the Diamond. And I got a wee phone call from Ian saying, Gordy, would you do an hour down at the Diamond? I went, oh, okay. It's easy in St. Patrick's Church when people come in and sing with you and pat you on the back and say, that was wonderful. Or maybe don't say anything at all because it wasn't. But out at the front of the town hall on a Saturday afternoon, and my neighbours might walk past and Gordy's getting all holy Joe. Thought, I'll get Maeve McPhillamy to sing with me. She's a great singer. I'll just hide and play the guitar. Maeve couldn't do it. Laura Hunter, great singer. Laura could sing away. I'll just hide and play the guitar. Laura couldn't do it. And I don't mean this in a kind of big spooky way, but I almost felt God saying to me, big man, are you prepared to do this yourself? And I can remember walking across Abbey Street car park with my guitar case to meet Andy at the front of the town hall, who was then going to go, all the best, Gordy, see you in an hour. And I was terrified. But it was a lesson in, Gordy, to be courageous for me. Even at the Red Sails Festival with the wee blues band, you can almost hide behind the music. But here it was just with your acoustic guitar singing worship songs in the middle of the street. You prepared to do that for me, to get out and share my name. Courage, compassion, creativity. 1 Peter 3, verse 15. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. Communicating God's word with compassion, with creativity, with courage. Responding to God's word. Look at what happens here. Verses 14 to 20. We won't take time to run through them all. But there's recognition amongst the officials. There's recognition that something really important is being said here. Something really important. But when it gets to the length of the king, there is just rejection. Whenever Judiah read 3 or 4 columns of the scroll, the king cut them off with the scribe's knife and threw them into the fire pot until the entire scroll was burned in the fire. So there's some people are sensing God speaking to them, and there's something important to be heard. And the king, and actually some of his officials, now whether it's just because they were following him and keeping him happy or whether because they believed it, but they rejected God's word. There was division amongst them. Verse 25, even though all the names, Elnathan, Deliah, Gemariah urged the king not to burn the scroll, he would not listen to them. And then there's the action, verse 27 and 28, and verse 32 of Jeremiah and Baruch, who hear God's word and take action and respond. It's interesting that Jehoiakim the king is the son of Josiah, who was the king, if you remember, in 2 Kings 22 and 23, found the book of the law, found God's word, and when he heard God's word, when he had read God's word in the manuscripts, he proclaimed fasting and repentance in the nation. That's the relative. Jehoiakim the son, what has happened in his heart to be so different? Look at verse 9 there. You see the two names mentioned together in the passage. Verse 9. Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, king of Judah. Two people, same family. Two responses to God's word. I love the passage in 2 Corinthians 2 that says, we are led in triumphal procession in Christ, but to some, and we are the aroma of Christ to those who are being saved and to those who are perishing. And then this, to the one we are the smell of death, but to the other we're the fragrance of life. Same message. two different reactions. And we also, I think, in today's society, still have this little notion in our heads, and maybe it's what we'll explore tonight with Peter Linus, but maybe we have this notion that if you're a Christian, everybody's going to love you. And actually, that's not the case. There will be different responses as we live out Christ in our lives. In Isaiah chapter 8, Matthew 21, Romans 9, 1 Peter 2, we read the little phrase about God, or about Jesus being the stumbling block, the stumbling stone, the scandalon being the Greek. If you're of a certain generation, you'll maybe remember this album by Michael Card called Scandalon. A stone that causes men to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. To some he is the barrier, to others he's the way. For all should know the scandal of believing. Jesus said of himself that he came to divide households. The gospel will divide. It will cause some to stumble. For others it will be a foundation stone on which they build their lives. And the Tyndale commentary says, for the disobedient, they find that the Christ who had offered to be for them is now against them. If you turn your back on the things of God, you find that the Christ who wants to be, whose heart is for you, will be against you. The rock that causes men to stumble, the stone that causes men to stumble, the rock that makes them fall, the response to the Word of God. Finally, I want to think about the power of the Word of God. Christine read for us from 2 Timothy 3, verse 10 through to chapter 4, verse 5. And we think about the author. All Scripture is God-breathed. The activity and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness. Some of those words are maybe quite good. Some of them are a bit scary. To be rebuked, to be corrected, to be taught, to be trained. What does that mean for you and I? And what does God's word have to say to you and I today? These are words that Paul writes to Timothy, a young church leader, to say, stand strong. We thought about it last week, about speak the truth even if your voice shakes. And this idea that people want to hear nowadays what their itching ears want to hear, but you keep your head in all situations, speak the truth. The author is God. All Scripture is breathed by His Spirit through the lives of men and women who wrote it. The activity is there to help mold and shape us to become more like Jesus. The seed that we thought about with the children, that germinates in our lives and grows. But one of the hearts that often gets missed in that parable in Luke 8 is, what is the condition of the soil of our hearts? Because if our hearts are hard, the seed does not go down. And there's a rejection. So, are we allowing the seed of God's word to go deep in us that we've just prayed as we sang, Speak, O Lord? The lamp. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path that brings illumination, that takes away the darkness. I don't know about you. I can only speak for myself. I know there's dark, shady places in my heart I certainly don't want any of you to know about. But God's word needs to shine its light there to bring illumination in my life, to bring light in the dark places. The mirror. This is a great passage. And a few years ago, my little Jeff Lucas daily reading notes, he just seemed to often go back to this passage. And I was kind of thinking, well, I just sensed the Lord was saying something to me. Am I the man who looks at his face in the mirror and immediately walks away and forgets what he looks like? Thinking, Gordy, you look at yourself this morning, son, you are. Or a few weeks ago and I forgot to do my tie up. How many of us are like that? That we look at Scripture, we sense God saying to us, and then we walk away. makes no difference. We don't do anything about it. We don't allow God to bring his revelation of what needs fixed in us, like we would check the mirror before you go out the door. If your hair's unkempt, you try to fix it. If your tie's not straight, you fix it. Whatever it be, if your collar's hooked up, you fix it. But how often do we come to God's word? And the power of God's word is to bring revelation to your life and my life, to bring germination, to start growth, to bring illumination, to take away the darkness. And Hebrews 4, examination, that the sword of the Spirit that separates bone and marrow and cuts deep, and it's almost like a surgeon's scalpel to get in there and fix what's impure, what's putrid, what needs changed, what needs cut away to mold and shape us and make us more like Jesus. Are we allowing God to do this work in us? I love this little cartoon. I didn't know there was so much in it. But so often we read the Word of God for information and not allow it to do the work of transformation. I speak for myself when I say that. It's easy to read for knowledge, but it's a different story to read that God's Word may take a grip on us and begin to do those jobs of beginning new growth, taking away the darkness, showing us what needs fixed, and maybe cutting deep to make us more like Christ. The Word of God. What's the point this morning? Well, in Jeremiah 36, to speak boldly and with confidence for God, to respond appropriately in obedience, and to live rightly, that there may be Christ-likeness, that as we give ourselves in obedience and confidence to God, he may mold and shape us and take us deeper into him. We're going to respond in a minute by singing Mighty to Save. Maybe the guys want to jump up. But I love the second verse. So take me as you find me, with all my fears and failures, and fill my life again. I give myself to follow. Can we sing these words this morning? Lord, we come before you needing to have confidence that we speak boldly, to come in obedience that we live and respond appropriately. And then that heart for Christ-likeness, that we may live rightly, that people may see Christ in us and be drawn to him. So let's stand together and respond as we sing these words. Thanks, Alex.